Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are dealing with that third aspect of salvation that comes up in Peter's introduction to his epistle, his first epistle, when he is identifying the recipients of his letter. And as you no doubt recall, he identifies them by three phrases relating to salvation, and each one of the three relates to a different person of the Trinity. When he says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And having now examined number 1, chosen by the Father, and number 2, transformed by the Spirit, we are now on number 3, in which we become, in God's salvation, we become obedient to the Son. A very interesting focus on the work of the Son. Not so much what he did upon the cross, but how salvation brings us into surrender, obedient surrender to him. A very needed emphasis in our day, I think you will agree. And so we'll continue studying that on this Tuesday, December 11. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks to those who remember that we are dependent upon your gifts to remain on this station. Obedience to the Son. And because all these phrases are not only identifying the recipients and highlighting different aspects of salvation, but are all related, there's a flow to them, there's a sequence to them, we realize that obedience to the Son is a result of election. That's very clear here. These are in proper order. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, that's first. In sanctification of the Spirit, that's second. Those whom the Father has chosen, the Holy Spirit is sent to work in their lives, to transform them. And then for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, that's number 3. And so, even this, obedience to the Son, relates to the doctrine of election. And as I think we've already pointed out, helps to answer that question, how may I know that I am one of the elect? And the answer is this. If God the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart a desire to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Now notice how I said that. I did not say if you have become perfectly obedient to Christ. Some people mischaracterize this teaching in that way, and that is entirely wrong. Nobody is perfectly obedient to the Son, or at least not upon the earth. When we get to heaven, we will be. We will, as one songwriter put it at that time, love him with unsinning heart. There will be no sin mixed in with our obedience in that day. And because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts now, we long for that day to come. We are dissatisfied with our imperfect obedience. But nevertheless, if we have been saved, there is a desire to be obedient. And that's the key. Desire. Do you, dear friend, have that desire? If you tell me that you are saved, on your way to heaven, have eternal life, ready to meet the Lord, know that if you died today, you'd be in heaven, but there is not in your heart, there is not manifested in your life, any evidence of desire to obey the Son, then I have to tell you that your claim to salvation is a very, very tenuous claim. It really is built upon the most flimsy of foundations, and you have every reason to question it. I have every reason to call upon you to examine it carefully, because it does not fit the biblical evidence. We find this evidence many places in the Scripture, but right here. In the opening verses of Peter's first epistle, here's how he describes the people that he's writing this letter to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This election of the Father results in the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, which results in obedience to the Son. And if there is not in your life any desire to obey the Son, any evidence that you are endeavoring to obey the Son, then the question is, where's the evidence of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Indeed, where is the evidence that you are one of God's children at all? Where is the evidence? The evidence is not found in something that you did. The evidence is found in what God has done. Oh, that we could get that straight. So many people are depending upon human manufactured evidence for their salvation, and have been taught to do so. I understand this, but this is so dangerous. How do you know that you are saved? Because, listen to me now, I prayed a prayer. So that's what you did. Yes. I walked an aisle. So this is something you did. Yes. I knelt at my bed with my mother, and she prayed with me, and she told me that I did that. I don't remember it. I've had people tell me that. I don't remember that. I really don't remember it. But my mother told me that I did, so I know that I'm saved, because my mother tells me that she remembers when I prayed and asked Jesus to save me, so I therefore know that I am saved. What flimsy foundation to rest your eternal soul upon. And don't you understand the common theme in all of these, and I could string some others out as well, that in all of them you are pointing to something I did. I said, I was told this from someone else. These are all things that I did. Wait a minute. The real question is, what has God done? What has the Holy Spirit done? Has God done a work of regeneration in your soul? How would you know? Has God birthed you into the family of God? How would you know? Is God transforming your life? What is the evidence for that? You see, once again, back to this verse, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience of Jesus Christ. That's what God does in the lives of those that He saves. So the question is, where is your obedience? We used to teach our children a song that said, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that I believe. That's a song that we taught our children. It's a good one. Is anybody saved by their obedience? Of course not. Is anyone truly saved who does not evidence obedience? Listen to me now. Of course not. Obedience is the result of a divine work of grace in your soul. And if the evidence of a divine work of grace in your soul is not manifested in your obedient desire to please the Lord, then what makes you any different from an unconverted person? You mean to tell me that the only difference is that you have said some words, you have prayed a certain prayer, you have followed a certain formula, you have walked down an aisle at a particular location? Well, what does that accomplish? Where's the evidence that God did something? That's the question. What did God do? The question is not, what did you do? The question is, what has God done? And you say, well, God has saved my soul. And then the question is, how can you tell? And here's how. When the Holy Spirit works in lives, He brings about, He forms an obedient desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said this is evidence of election. Let me read a few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul talks about election here when he says in verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now, how could Paul possibly know the election of other people? Well, listen to what he says about it. Here's how he knew. He goes on to say, for, that word for tells us that he's explaining what he just said, knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now that's quite a few verses. But in those verses you will find a whole list of evidences of their election. How did Paul know that they were elect? Well, because the gospel came to them in power. That is, they were impacted by it. They received it. They believed it. How do we know that that is true? Because, as he says in verse 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord. There's obedience to the Son. And in Paul's case, this was manifested by becoming followers of Paul, who was pointing them to Christ. But he was showing them how Christians live, showing them by example as well as by precept. And so they, because their hearts were changed, they had a desire to please the Lord, they became followers of Paul. They learned to live their Christian life after the pattern that he showed them, and he was pointing them to Christ. And they were learning to live their Christian lives after the pattern of Jesus Christ Himself, having been shown that pattern by the Apostle Paul. And on it goes. We're running out of time here, of course, but this is the evidence of their salvation. This is the evidence of their election. Oh, how important these things are to understand. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.